Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Cubs and Brewers on Monday, first pitch, 8:08 Central. Hope that doesn't come with heartbreak, am I right?
I do not understand.
I do.
I understood that reference.
Get out the tape measure. Long gone. Three-run homer, Seiya Suzuki. Cubs lead 3-0.
Andrew Vaughn kills lefties.
Against lefties, 313, 389, 470. He's an 859 OPS player against left-handed pitching.
Batting fourth and playing first base, number 25, Andrew Vaughn.
Two on with two away for Andrew Vaughn. Imanaga checks his runners. Here's the pitch. Fly ball, left field. Hap on the warning track. Hap at the wall. It's gone! Andrew Vaughn ties in the bottom of the first inning with a three-run homer. His first career postseason homer. I thought I was going to scrape the top of the roof. That was a moon ball.
You're not going to win playoff games giving up 2-3-run homers. That was just too much to overcome.
Churio with a drive. Center field. Way back there.
Are never too bright for the 21-year-old Jackson Churio.
We got our work cut out for us, but it's done by winning one pitch at a time and succeeding one pitch at a time.
Uribe at the belt. Kicks and deals. Slider struck him out.
And Milwaukee takes a 2-0 lead over the Chicago Cubs.
And the Cubs are on the brink as the series shifts to Chicago.
Our road back to Milwaukee starts on Wednesday afternoon.
How can they rise up and overcome? Well, can they?
That is correct.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. Man, do we have a show planned for you. Matt Bowen is going to join us at 4 o'clock. We're going to break down tape and talk ball with him. Steve Stone is going to join us at 425. We'll get his thoughts on the playoffs. And then Mark Grody is back at Hallis Hall. Oh, yeah, the Bears are getting ready for a game again. So that's exciting. Alex is here. Tanny is here. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello!
He's hanging on by a thread. We got you until 6 o'clock tonight.
I figure I'll give you the fake enthusiasm since the real stuff isn't there right now.
Sometimes we can't tell the difference.
Come on, man. You know me better than that. That was deflating, Lawrence. That Andrew Vaughn threw in homer. And, hey, Gene Honda, he hit fifth last night, okay? Not clean up. I'm sure you thought about it, Tanny. You're like, can I find one where he's hitting fifth? No. That's all right. I'll just squeeze it in there. Nobody will notice. Well, I noticed. All right, buddy.
It's all a problem.
I noticed.
John Fox would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, things are not good. Listen.
Well, I will tell you, Speaks, if you've noticed it, I've noticed.
That's
it.
Correct.
I can't wait to talk to him.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. I'm actually interested in hearing some of his thoughts about Andrew Vaughn. And we'll do that along with other things that are planned for today's show. Your calls are going to be a part of today's show as well, because we know that you have got the knives out for the Cubs and for their manager and for their front office and maybe their right fielder / DH and maybe their owner. There's a lot of people to have knives out for if you're a Cubs fan right now.
Oh, so many carcasses soon to be available to be carved. I mean, they could do it. Lawrence?
Sure they could.
Of course they could.
Statistically, it's not likely, but yes, they could.
Instead of thinking about this round specifically or whatever, just think about it. All best of five series ever. Because you remember when the ALCS and the NLCS were best of five series.
I sure do.
So all best of five series ever. There have been 90 of them.
90.
Where one team has started out 2-0.
Okay.
How many of those 90 do you suspect that the team that started out 2-0 went on to win?
I'm going to guess 83.
Oh, that's such a good guess. That's such an appropriate score guess. Alex Kuhn, would you like to hazard a guess? Of the 90, how many of them that started out 2-0, those 90, went on to win that series?
I will say 78.
Okay. Tanny, got one? Are you comfortable with the two guesses as they've been so far?
$1. No, I actually heard
good
this
answer.
Stat.
Good answer.
Yeah,
good
I heard this stat, and it's a good one, but I already have forgotten the answer. It's 80.
80,
yeah.
So right in between you two. So 88.9%. 80 times out of 90, a team has come back from 2-0. So it could happen. It's just hard to imagine right now because the Brewers are damn good.
Mm-hmm.
They're the best team in baseball, and they have been. And the question was, which version of themselves would they show up as? So far, pretty damn good. They've got that contact thing where they don't chase, and they did that in game one. And then in game two, they're like, oh, you like home runs? We'll hit three of those.
Thank good night, you. Everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Enjoy your ride back down I-94.
Yes, sir.
If you're going to hit home runs tonight off of your guys and do it in a dramatic fashion after falling behind 3-0, where you're like, okay, the Craig thing at the top of the lineup didn't backfire on them.
They hit a three-run homer in the first inning.
Three-run homer, like, yeah, here we go. Yeah. And then grand opening, grand closing.
You know, to me, it goes back to the construction of the pitching staff. And my anger at the trade deadline, it all came boiling back up last night, today, and beyond. And think about it. You, the angry fan, I know you might be angry at Craig Counsell, and that's cool. That's the manager's job, is to wear that anger. But the curious fan goes a little deeper and thinks about this. You're begging for your manager to choose Colin Ray. You're begging for your manager to choose Javier Assad.
That's why I couldn't do it. That's why I was like, Shota is the move.
Matt Boyd on 3 days is the move. Because you're begging for him to choose contact options who are great depth pieces to help you get through a season. That's what those guys are. It's about the loss of Cade Horton, and it's about the failures of a trade deadline, the absolute failures of a trade deadline to add swing and miss dominance to a staff that does not have it. And they survived that weak trade deadline in the regular season because of depth and because of defense, and frankly, because nobody jumped up and took their spot from them. Lawrence, let's be honest. The Mets faded in full. The Reds got lucky to get in.
The Padres got close, and then the last weekend, they were like, we'll just go to Chicago.
They survive in the regular season, but come the playoffs, it's a different game, man. Look around this league in the postseason. Swing and miss weaponry on pitching staffs is everywhere, and you don't really have it. You just don't have it. And it shows up on both your offense, which only gets three runs a game, whether you need more or not, and on your pitching, which doesn't get strikeouts when you got to get strikeouts. You just don't have enough. And I know that Pat Murphy, he won the chess battle with Craig Counsell, but look at the pieces he had to use. Look at Jacob Mizorowski coming in and throwing 103.
Yeah, that was hilarious
With sliders or cutters, whatever you want to call it, at what, 97, 96?
Yeah, he's and then freezing guys at the plate, and they're like, wait, what was that?
Uh-huh. So, yeah, look at his opener. Ashby's throwing 99, 98. It's like he has better weaponry. Frankly, every pitching staff in the postseason right now does.
Okay, so this goes back to something that I've said for the last couple of years. That right there,
That statement that you made, that Pat Murphy has better weaponry than Craig Counsell, is an indictment. It's an indictment on the Cubs as an organization, because you're supposed to be bullying these hoes, and you're supposed to have been bullying them for a long time, and you're not. And what, fine, if that, your roster going into the season, I would say is fairly solid, but then there was an opportunity for you.
Everybody knew what you needed. Lawrence, everybody knew what you needed, and we talked about it, and we were furious, and all that fury came back up.
I hate being right about this one. And I think that we're not alone. Like, it's not us on an island.
No.
And if we're on an island, we're on an island with every bleeping Cub fan that was sitting there at the trade deadline going, wait, y'all ain't gonna do nothing? Like, y'all just gonna sit here? Like, Soroka is your move? That's your move? That's the big move that you're going to make when you have a team that is in a great position to be a playoff team?
Hey, man, due respect to Andrew Kittredge, who's a very nice part of your bullpen and has stepped up. But the other bullpen guy you got, Taylor Rogers, he isn't even on your roster.
Yeah.
He's not even on your playoff roster.
And the idea of, and then you match that with the ridiculous statement from Carter about the idea that you're looking ahead to 2032.
Offensive.
It's absolutely offensive.
Because in the postseason, Lawrence, look at these teams just throwing out dude after dude after dude. And if you don't have dudes, you go out and get them. And if you got dudes in the minors, you bring them up. You fast track them so they can be your weapons in the postseason.
What I don't understand is why the offseason and the in season don't match. Here's what I mean. In the offseason, the Cubs make a move that is aggressive. Trading away Cam Smith, who most people think is going to turn out to be a pretty good pro. And he was up and down, but he at least hit home runs for the Astros this year.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
And you get Kyle Tucker, and you kind of know that it's for 1 year.
And we'll flesh that out more, but it is clear that it was a go-for-it move in your lame duck president of operations season.
So why doesn't the trade deadline match the offseason, where if you are in a go-for-it mode, if you're being aggressive the way that the Cubs were being aggressive, why didn't it match? And look, I know that this show is on October 7th. If you rewind the tape,
you'll hear
at the trade deadline, we were talking about it, and so were you.
We talked about it in real time. Frankly,
we talked about it leading up to the trade deadline.
You know when we talked about it in real time? We broke it down when Jed Hoyer's contract extension got announced.
Yeah.
And I struggled with how to frame it and how to think about it. And then I've been comfortably blurting it out that man sold his aggression. That man sold his aggression. On the day he signed that, he sold his aggression.
I don't want to go that far.
I have to.
I think that they are coincidental.
Dude, but you just said it. You trade for Kyle Tucker. You are aggressive with your bullpen roster churn and your role churn. And then all of a sudden at the deadline, you don't finish the job.
No, I'm with you. I don't know if I want to put it on Jed getting the contract extension, because that would make me think bad things about Jed, especially when at that point the rabbit had the gun.
Well, maybe that's too clever or too using the verbiage to try and poke the knife and be provocative. How about this?
I'm just not willing to go that far with you. Because but I get it.
What he did is he extended the partnership. He extended the partnership. And all of a sudden, 2032 is something you care about. AJ Preller is not out here caring about 2032.
I can't.
He's not out here. Dave Dombrowski is not out here caring about 2027, now, let alone 2026.
Carter walked that back on a subsequent interview here on The Score. He walked it back. But
it left a mark.
Of course it does, Spiegs, because it lets you know how they were thinking at the time. At the time when it looked like the Cubs needed to do something, they didn't. And they wrapped it in, well, we're the stewards of the baseball team. We have to make sure that the baseball team is going to be good years from now.
And I get it. Like, I don't know if you saw Buster Olney just tweeted something about Hank Steinbrenner the other day, that George was championship or bust, anything but a World Series is a failure. Hank's definition of success is more nuanced. Yankee fans lost their mind at that. But this is the truth, is that it sometimes through variance and postseason randomness, the teams you don't expect to win do not win. They chose that. They opted for that. And at a certain point, they're like, let's go ahead and bank on the variance and our $40 million manager. And that's just not really giving your $40 million manager everything that he needs.
What I hate about it for the Cubs organizationally is that you saw this team pass you in the regular season, and now you're seeing them outclass you in the postseason. And you go, look how far you have to go to be competitive with them. Now, you won the season series. That's great. You won that three out of those five games that were played in August with the Brewers. But you've seen them for the 2 years that Craig has been here, they've still been the better team.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to throw this onto Craig's lawn. All I'm saying is that organizationally, you continue to let the Brewers be better than you. And you've got to figure out why that keeps happening and what it is you need to do to be more competitive.
I completely agree. There's something in the philosophy of pitching acquisition and development which doesn't quite measure up to some other orgs. There's something, I think, maybe in the position player development as well, that is different, whether it is you are opting to try for slug and accepting strikeouts still, and some other teams are going contact more. I don't know exactly, but the pitching one, I have a clue on. I have a theory on the pitching one.
You want to share?
We got a nice chunky show with lots of space for us and for the callers for everybody.
That's a tease with no time for a payoff. That is a
top of the hour.
That's a new level of
do it next
of tease that we got going on here on the Spiegel at Home show. We know something, but we're not going to tell you.
I'll tell you next. I'll give you my theory next. I'll back it up with some numbers.
I like that idea, and it also gives us an opportunity to talk about throwing stuff onto Craig's lawn. Is this actually the manager's fault? Should he be the one whose ire is up? Because we go, oh, it's look at what Craig, and we did it yesterday. We were like, this is some weird stuff. That I think there are things that you can look at with Craig and go, he got you. Like the yesterday, like the Pat Murphy thing, like why are you reacting to what he might do instead of him reacting to you?
Because he thinks he doesn't have enough. And is he right? That's when the conversation goes deeper.
He might be right. Speed's going to tell you what's wrong with pitching, and we're going to talk about Craig Counsell. Then at 3 o'clock, we are going to take your phone calls. All of that's coming up. It's Spiegel and Holmes here with you until 6 on the
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Score.
I was hoping you and your friends could tell me something about baseball strategy.
The only thing I know about strategy is that whatever the manager does, it's wrong. Unless it works, in which case he's a button pusher.
Mo is correct.
Mo is on it, don't you think?
Yeah, he's got it. He's got it. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show. We are here with you until 6 o'clock. We are going to take your phone calls about the Cubs coming up at 3 o'clock. Let you get in on this discussion as they fight for their lives on tomorrow in Game 3. Don't say we never gave you anything. If you'd like to go see Brian Regan, who is awesome, he's going to be at the Chicago Theater January 17th, 2026.
Be caller 6 right now to 312-540-0670.
So you want my pitching philosophy thing,
yes.
Lawrence? They don't seem to chase pure stuff as an org. And maybe that has now changed with the hire of Tyler Zombro. But this is a team that doesn't have as much pure stuff as just about every other team in these in this postseason. Eno Saris invented a thing called Stuff Plus, which measures release point, velocity, vertical break, spin rate. It kind of combines all of them. Basically, it tries to capture the nastiest pitches in baseball.
Okay.
And I saw a top 10 in the postseason so far, a top 10 list in the postseason so far. And there's no Cubs on there. And I knew that was not going to be the case. So it's like Mason Miller and...
Not even Palencia.
No, because his slider doesn't do enough.
The pursuit of nastiness.
That's it. That's the pursuit of nastiness.
Nasty.
This is what the league is doing, right? So I'm thinking, all right, well, where do the Cubs measure in terms of team stuff plus pure nastiness? Because you look around the postseason, you see some nasty dudes on just about every other team.
The Cubs have seen it in both of their playoff series.
Yes, they have. And they got by the Padres with defense and home field and a little bit of variance and some timely
some shadows.
Timely work. Yeah, right. So as a pitching staff this year, 20th in MLB in Stuff Plus. As a starting rotation this year, 23rd in Stuff Plus. Every other team in the postseason ahead of them. Every other team that's alive in the postseason ahead of them, except Toronto. And what's interesting about that is because you look at Toronto, look who they brought up in September and just threw 5 1/3 per no-hit innings the other day. This kid, Treya Savage, he started the season in low A. He was in the futures game. And they're like, we might need that guy. And they raced him up the system, and he got a freaking start in the ALDS against the Yankees and absolutely shoved. He's here and he's helping because he's nasty. You need nasty dudes and a lot of them. And this is not new. In 2024, they had the lowest average velocity in MLB, did the Chicago Cubs. Guess what? They had MLB's lowest fastball velocity in every year from 21 through 24. They have finished no higher than 26th in average velocity since 2018. They don't believe in going to get big-ass arms and then teaching them how to throw strikes, then teaching them how to pitch. They don't seem to believe that enough. Maybe this new hire, Tyler Zombro, was celebrated. Maybe it'll change. But right now, in terms of the big league staff, they don't have enough kick-ass, dominant arms, and it shows in the postseason.
Okay. Let's say you're right, and I think that's very plausible that you are. If you didn't recognize it before the trade deadline, that's a problem. If because obviously they have the in-house numbers, they have all of this stuff at their fingertips. But even by the eye test, if you're going, you know what we could probably use a little bit more swing and miss, we should go get it. We should go get it for who we might match up with.
They've done a very nice job in the second half in making a bullpen work with that stuff. Strikeout rates went up in the second half with the bullpen. Council did a really good job with the pen in finding that. But that's why Soroka's on this playoff roster, is that he has some swing and miss stuff with that slider. So Council's like, well, I guess this is what I got. That's why Ben Brown is here on this postseason roster, because he's like, I need more swing and miss stuff. I guess this is what I got. You need like 7, 8, 9 dudes like that. That's what other teams throw at you.
Layla pointed it out, though. The Ben Brown thing is frustrating because there's a guy that clearly has stuff and he has not been developed. Why not? Like, what happened? And in a year where there were opportunities for him to develop, what was the missing part? Or is that something that can only be fixed in an offseason? I don't know. It just seems like that's the type of guy that you're talking about. They have one of them, and they don't know what to do with them.
Yeah, you know, the Ben Brown thing is really weird. Like, the way that's been done, I thought he should have been a bullpen short relief guy at some point, and they never...
You're not really alone in that.
They never really made that transition. They sent him down and had him start in the minors, etc. Yeah,
because you would think that a guy that has a limited repertoire, until you can make some choices, be like, hey, Ben, here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We're going to pitch you an inning at a time.
do whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
They throw as hard as you want to throw for that inning.
To your point, Lawrence, they knew this at the deadline. They knew it. They knew it as an org. They knew it as a front office. They just... There weren't a lot of starters out there to go get, but this is why I was like,
there were still starters to go get, though.
This is why I was like, go get Justin Verlander if you can. Like, go get somebody who you might be able to unleash. And Verlander, by the way, had a great run post deadline. But it's like, there weren't starters there. There were bullpen guys there. Mason Miller got dealt. Jhoan Duran got dealt. But there weren't a lot of starters out there that got moved. It's just, I think it's an organizational philosophy that catches up to them in the small sample of the playoffs.
So are you saying that they have not given Craig what he needs? And is it fair for a fan to go, well, hold up, Spiegs. They gave that man $40 million. He's supposed to be the difference in what you had with David Ross and what you have now. He's supposed to make up for all of those things, that's why you went and got him. Or a really cynical fan could go, you spent on the manager so you didn't have to spend in other places.
Well, that point's higher then too, right? To answer your question, I'm annoyed at Craig. I think Craig has messed a couple things up, you know, a couple two-tree things up. But I think this goes higher. I think it is bigger. I mean, it's his job to wear it, and you're angry, and you're entitled to your angry, but I truly believe the discerning fan looks larger and says, what options does he have? You're begging for him to choose Colin Ray, you know? I mean, and all due respect to Colin Ray,
it's a bad place to be.
That's a bad place to be.
Or saying, you know what? Let's try Javier Assad. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But maybe he should have. You know, I mean, maybe he should have, which is why that's the job, and that's fair game to go after him. But to me, it goes larger and it goes higher.
Dino on Twitch says, so it's the McCaskies. Yes.
It all goes there.
Always goes back to there.
Also, we need a billion. We're going to need that billion.
Guys, remember how we said we're going to need $1 billion? No. No.
But let's see what the people think.
How about no?
See if the people think that it goes higher or if they should be mad at Craig, right? Like you said, there's anger in all the directions.
There is, and we're going to allow you, if that's what you want to do, we don't want to force your hand, but if you got some things that you want to say, 312-644-6767. We have blocked away this next segment so that we can talk with you. How are you feeling about the Cubs? Let's get your thoughts next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.